A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Liz Earle Wellbeing Show. I'm Liz Earle and I will be speaking with leading experts and familiar faces from the world of wellbeing and beyond to bring you wellness wisdom you can trust. From fitness to gut health, mood to menopause, you will quickly learn how to spot a gem of wellness wisdom from a passing fad. Now, I have just been joined here in my studios by a comedian, broadcaster and writer who holds an OBE for services to mental health, Ruby Wax. Now, Ruby has written several books, including How to Be Human, The Manual, A Mindfulness Guide to the Frazzled, Sane New World, and How Do You Want Me? Well, her new book, it's great, and it's called And Now for the Good News, To the Future with Love. It's really positive. She explores what she calls the green shoots across subjects, including tech, interesting, well-being, of course, community and education. And we had a really fantastic chat about her life and times. We chatted about her own experiences, personal experiences of mental ill health and even kefir, which I was horrified to hear she doesn't like much. So we'll see about that. But she also shared her thoughts on ethical business, no-till farming, and how she survived lockdown. So don't forget, if you would like to watch our chat here, you can also find the full video podcast over on the Liz Earle Wellbeing YouTube channel. So without further ado, let's get into the chat with Ruby Wax. So Ruby, welcome.
Thank you.
You are so welcome to my little studio den. I'm glad you found us.
It's impossible.
I know.
It's like a bird's nest in New York.
We are hidden away, but you are here. And I think many of my listeners will know you as an amazing comedian. They may not realize that you are far more influential and bigger in the space of mental health and have been for so many years, decades. Can you take us back to that connection? How far do we have to go?
Well, not to the womb. But I had my show, this is so long ago, I had my show for 25 years on the BBC.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, they let me do fantastic documentaries, you know, the Ku Klux Klan and women who sold their eggs online. And it was remarkable. They to Russia during Glasnost. And then they said, would you do celebrities? So I said, yeah, okay. Well, so I thought it was going to be a year, but it went on and on. And they kept saying, you can only do celebrities. And I thought, I can't get, this isn't my thing. Yeah. Anyway, eventually I lost my mojo. I have depression, so it was a major one.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a death before a birth. You know, a lot of times we have to reinvent.
Yeah.
And those are always scary because you can't repeat who you used to be. And if you do, it becomes kind of, do you remember who I was?
Right.
Begging to get back on television, going, please do a documentary about my gallbladder operation. But I knew I had to reinvent. So after my illness, I said, okay, I'm going to figure out how to tame this brain.
Mm.
I was always interested in the brain. And now you could look in a brain while it's thinking. Whereas when I went to Berkeley, you could only study a corpse, not my area. And so Oxford were offering but for a master's, mindfulness and neuroscience. So I don't ask. My friends say, there's three mysteries. A, how did you get in the Royal Shakespeare Company? B, how did you get into Oxford? And C, who shot Kennedy? So I went to Oxford, and as my dissertation, I wrote a show, which hadn't been done, and that is how I got my master's, and then that turned into a show, and that was about mental health, mental illness.
That is just extraordinary. So you must be the only person alive who got your master's with
and
a show.
And got a show out of it.
And got a show. I mean, yeah, that's multitasking.
That's called killing impressive. 18 birds with one stone.
And then you talk about going on to talk, but I saw your TED talk. And, you know, that's quite brutal, isn't it? Because you talk about your own breakdown. Mm. You talk about having a breakdown at your daughter's sports day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's right out there, isn't it? You don't pull any punches. You don't kind of hide behind anything. You very much live it. You say, this was my experience, and this is what led me to study it and to hopefully help others along the way.
Yeah, to figure out how the machine broke. Of course, nobody can figure that out, but, I mindfulness is an interesting way to be able to self-regulate your chemicals in your head. That doesn't mean it's 100%, but it means you might be able to dodge some of the bullets the next time the stress storms come in.
So is it predetermined? I mean, you talk about your own depression.
Nobody knows.
Is there a genetic factor?
Yeah, nature, nurture. But if you have five brothers and sisters, not everybody's going to get it.
Yeah.
So if you have a great experience in life and you have the genes, like you might have the genes for any disease, they may not switch on. Yeah. But I had a double whammy. I had insane parents. And my first book was called How Do You Want Me? And Carrie Fisher edited it. And she said, your family is almost as nuts as mine. And that is the great review of all times. Oh. So you can buy that one. That was my first one.
Yeah.
And anyway, then that was the only show I did about mental illness, but I got that OBE because I was the only one doing mental health.
Well, that was what, 20 years ago, is it?
Six.
Only six?
Yeah, I changed my career not that long ago.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You've just done so much. It seems it must have been such a long time.
No, I switched careers about 15 years ago, but the OBE,
the OBE
came 6 years ago, or four. Or three, I can't.
But you've worked in such amazing areas because you work with relationships, you work with Relate.
Yeah.
So how does that link to mental health? Is that because of relationships?
No, there's a few things I'm connected, like with Mind and the Anna Freud Center, and I'm a chancellor of a university.
Right.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
A chancellor of a university.
Flunked out of a high school. Well, my nursery school. So I'm just a late bloomer.
Yeah.
Really late. And then each book was not about mental illness. Then I was interested in how the mind works and how do you pick who you live with? Is it hormonal? Yeah. Is it every question I had, I became obsessed with. And the last book, How to Be Human, I wrote with a monk and a neuroscientist. And between the two, a lot of questions were answered. But then also I'm a comedy writer, so I didn't make it,
They're very readable. Yeah, they are certainly.
I'm a good translator. Smart.
It's great. And I like that combination, the monk and the neuroscientist. If you were studying the neuroscience at Oxford, were you looking at things like the actual chemistry, looking at the importance of things like oxytocin and dopamine? And, and where are we with all of that? Where are we with understanding how
in
these
the foothills.
Really?
But I like that I know a little bit. If your car breaks down, I know a little bit about the what's in the engine.
Yeah,
but it's still foothills, and at least I could make it funny, so that a kid should understand a little bit about. It's the most important piece of merchandise in and the government should be giving. Nothing else runs your body. It's the mothership.
It is the brain, isn't it? And yet there is still this stigma. You know, we'll happily talk about having
a broken leg.
Sure.
Yeah.
But a broken brain.
You have
brain.
A broken brain. For some reason, that's shaming. Don't ask me. This is the human condition. And that book was really about you are not your fault. Evolution tried as hard as it could to make you survive, and it worked. But we still have caveman brains that can't deal with the 21st century.
Yeah, the amount of stress.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't prepared for that.
Stress, you describe it very well in your talk about it being kind of for running from the woolly mammoth. But we're running from the woolly mammoth like every minute of our
COVID,
lives.
It's invisible, so we don't know where the bombs are dropping. And now we really don't know. So our cortisol, you know, the stress hormone in the amygdala that says there's danger is on all the time. And a human being, like your car engine, will eventually break down.
For sure. Yeah. How have you found it these last crazy few months?
Well, I do, Frazzle Cafes.
Yeah, tell us about Frazzle Cafes.
I'm supposed to talk about my book.
You can talk about that as well. Okay. Don't worry. Well, I want to talk about, I want everything.
Right. Well, Frazzle Cafes used to be in Marks and Spencer's in cafes.
Yeah.
For 4 years. And then it's now on Zoom. And so I run about, I run it every night at 5:30.
Every night?
Every night. It's my pleasure, though. This is my, that's my food.
Yeah.
And I have sometimes 100 people. And then we have hosts that do smaller groups, which is what we used to have in the Marks and Spencers, because people like the intimacy.
Yeah.
And they have a format, and I begin and end with mindfulness, but it isn't a, you know, because to get the frazzled brain down,
right?
Otherwise we can't really listen to each other because your mind is all over the place. And people speak human to human. They have about 1 or 2 minutes, and they say, this is, you know, I say, what's the climate, the temperature in your mind, and they know how to do that. And gradually you feel this compassion zip around people who don't even know each other. And what an atmosphere that's to sit in.
Wow.
And they care about each other. And we have regulars. And then they only have 1 or 2 minutes, but then they break out into groups of 5 or 6, and they really bond. And you see people going, oh, God, I'm not alone. It's touching.
Yeah.
And these are just people who are frazzled. This is not mental illness. No. Everybody's frazzled.
Everybody is frazzled. Show me somebody who's not frazzled.
Yeah. And then once a month or once every 2 weeks now, I'm going to do Frazzle Theater, which I've started to do shows to raise money.
What I found extraordinary about the whole thing about lockdown, because obviously, you know, I have a publishing company and my team were always working here in the studios, and suddenly everything became remote. So everything was online. And, you know, I was thinking, well, how's it going to work? But actually, it really does. You know, people do still connect, don't they? If you can see somebody's face on Zoom and you can talk to them, or even just messaging, it's amazing how I think we dismissed it. You thought that you had to meet in person, but actually you can get a
It depends what you use it for. If you're burning out because you're working 14 hours a day, it's like working 14 hours a day at the office.
Yeah.
But on Frazzled, when it's for compassion, I said before, you can't exchange that oxytocin unless it's face-to-face. I was wrong. This is real connection because there's no distraction.
Right.
Nobody's on the phone and there's no to-do list and there's no FOMO. So we can focus on each other and become human
FOMO,
again.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not. Yeah. We have other fears, but everybody's saying, this is my fear too. And then you feel that connection. And it's community, and that's what my book's about.
Yeah.
It's going to be community that makes us survive.
Yeah.
There's what burnt us out earlier was isolation, even though we were all connected. We were isolated, and humans don't function alone.
No.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So your new book is incredibly timely. I mean, it's almost kind of prophetic because it's talking about hope coming out of crisis, green shoots, let's think positively about the future.
Yeah.
When did you start writing it? Presumably way before all of this.
2 years ago.
Okay. So you saw the writing on the wall.
I don't know how I saw it, but I wanted to change my life. It's always about me. And I thought... there was so much then also of being in this plague of bad news that it was our illness. You know, then it was Brexit. Then it's an earthquake. Then it's, you know, we get a hunger for it. And the media knows bad news sells. If we're very riled up, we're not thinking straight, so we'll buy anything. And then you watch more news because we get scared. And when we get scared, the amygdala switches on. And then we go into high adrenaline. And then we watch more news. Because now we think, oh my God, where else is the danger? Because we don't know. We think, oh, do they know? It's a circle.
It's really shocking. I have to say, I've deleted all my news apps. I don't switch on the radio, the news in the morning like I used to.
I don't either.
And I've got a couple of friends who, you know, one of whom has actually been sectioned and another one who is on massive anxiety, will not leave the house, just watching 24/7 news.
Yeah.
I mean, the media, I think, have been hugely irresponsible. Where is the good news? Because there are positives. Okay,
sure, but it doesn't sell. Don't be silly. I mean, my book is not about, here's some, you know, fluffy garden pickers, you know. It isn't when I say the good news. I mean, people that are
but
really...
But it's hopeful. You've got a lot of hope in that book.
Yeah, because I was so because I'm negative. I wanted to focus my attention for the next 2 years on who's the next... the green shoots that are would just wow me as far as really walking the talk.
Yeah.
And it's not like two or three people, it's schools. Yeah. Where are they changing how they educate kids? You know, they're not just stuffing them full of knowledge, but they're teaching kids how to do. It's always about teamwork so that there is no stupid question because the teachers know that those stupid questions are the ones that think out of the box.
Yeah.
So it isn't that grading system anymore. So I went to Finland, and then in the UK, there's special schools that do emotional intelligence training. And you watch those scores go up.
Yeah.
And then I did business, because I thought business is the enemy. But there's a book called Conscious Capitalism and Firms of Endearment.
And I love that, Firms of Endearment. What a brilliant title.
Yeah, I know. Where there's certain companies, big organizations that are doing... you know, they're environmentally friendly. It's there's fairness all the way through to the cleaners. They work for the community. You know, this Patagonia sportswear company, as kosher as it gets. Mm-hmm. And don't think they don't make a profit.
No, for sure.
And the millennials will pretty soon only shop where it's transparent.
And that's absolutely right. And then you can see, if you look at transparency, you know, you start looking at supply chain, you start looking at things like blockchain. You start looking at traceability, you know, all of these things. And I think if you are going to be a strong company, I mean, I've always passionately championed ethical entrepreneurship and tried to build brands always with a strong heart for social justice and change and doing the right thing. And it will become easier in the future to see who made your garments, to see where that coffee was
picked. Can't BS you so much anymore.
No.
So I went to visit B Corp, which is a new concept that you only get a B Corp stamp, and it's really cool to get one. If you pass, there's 85 things, you know, equality, transparency, authenticity, checking out, you know, I mean, where are these materials?
Yeah, modern day slavery, all of those issues.
And then you get a B Corp stamp, and I've met those people. It's not small. This is big. This is in
Unilever.
Well,
you talk about tech as well. You know, and
then I go
Unilever and the big guys. This is
and then tech.
Brands.
What's coming out to teach people again humanity, which everybody goes, oh no,
tech
can't do that.
Can it?
Well, it just did. Look what happened on Zoom.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was coming, but I mentioned some tech that was that from the heart.
Yeah.
Not everything is evil. Not all business is evil, but we were only interested in that. The robots are coming, the singularity. Well, go look for the green shoots. And then in community, I really hit it. And in health, I really hit it, you know, with Tim Spector and
absolutely.
Gut
How
health.
Pleased was I to see the gut health. Mm. And you talk about kombucha.
Yeah.
All of those good things.
I write about the history of diets.
Yeah,
you know, when we started getting information and who that benefited. And with the, you know, because advertisers were brilliant at feeding us the importance of eating butter and the importance of eating, well, processed food.
Yes,
you know,
margarine, rather.
Yeah, that was, what was his name? Bernays, you know, who was the first PR guy related to Freud, who convinced people to eat, you know, all that processed things.
Processed.
And the ladies were dressed as have a nice day, feeding their husbands bread and canned stuff.
And processed stuff. You're not a fan of puffed rice, are you?
Oh, puffed rice is a danger, isn't it?
All these call it like the devil's food. And I mean, I have to agree with you there. I'm not a fan of puffed rice either.
But they were big campaigns.
Yeah,
and
massive.
They convinced people this is really healthy for you. And it was just big money.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much of that based on ultra processed foods, but based on sugar.
Yeah,
I mean,
that bumped up everything.
Now, I read studies, and I'm going to pick your brains here, literally, as a neuroscientist as well.
Well, I'm not really. Okay. I mean, the course was neuroscience and mindfulness.
Okay, so, but wearing your neuroscience hat, let's talk a little bit about sugar, because it's been described as being as addictive as, as drugs and you know, hard to get off. Do you think there is a role that sugar plays in mental health?
You know, nutrition isn't my specialty. Mm-hmm. I did write a chapter because I knew about no-till farming. I really went to, you know, seek the green shoots again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my specialty.
Yeah.
I really do know about stress, frazzled. I know about where community is. I understand that. And education. But I wouldn't step on nutrition or exercise.
Okay.
But I know that it's sugar that is the beginning of the damaging your immune system.
Yes, so, and there's a link with dopamine, I think.
Totally.
And creating those
chemicals. I mean, the
chemicals.
Body is the mind and the mind is the body, but I don't totally know the specifics about...
But I'm so interested to hear you use those words there, no-till farming, regenerative farming. I mean, I think I mentioned that I have a farm down in the West Country, and I'm a big believer and have practiced pasture-fed farming, and low input farming.
I live on a farm too.
Do you? Where is
my
farm?
Little nano? It's not my farm, but I live on it.
Yeah,
up in above Stevenage, and John Cherry has a groundswell festival where
Fantastic.
People from around the world come. You'll be invited.
Yeah, great.
And they talk
Can't
about
wait.
No-till farming.
Yes,
and it works, and there's money in it, and yet people reject it, and going, well, we've always plowed, and goddamn it, we're going to plow for the next 200 years. And you think you want to send up some CO2 emissions?
Yeah, exactly. Let's carbon capture. You know, you need to get the livestock.
Well,
grazing
we could go on. And
we
on
could.
About
I mean,
it.
That is that's a whole nother podcast.
You know, the whole probiotic again. You see the advertisers getting in. Selling you pills as if that could get to your, gut. It's manufacturers and they know how to advertise. And now people are buying for 80 pounds, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas probiotic, you have trillions of bacteria.
Yeah. Let's just
you
feed
can't
ourselves
get
the right
to them.
Ones.
Yeah, it's the right food.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you then have fermented foods in your diet? What kind of things
I haven't
do you
gotten
like?
A friend thing, but I'm.
Do you drink kefir? Or?
I try to, but it's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. You haven't had the right kefir.
Well, tell me later. But
okay,
I eat
will.
All that. Tim Spector's, the diet book for...
Exactly. So the sauerkraut, and you kind of big on that. Did you grow up eating any of that stuff?
I did because I'm German.
Yeah.
So I had clothes made out of sauerkraut. Hats.
There's a picture. And sourdough bread.
Yes, I'm on that one.
I mean, they do say that doesn't feed the gut with good bacteria, but it's much more easily digested.
And
I think.
But I don't eat pasta and, all those things. Yeah.
And did that change through your discoveries about mental health and awareness?
Oh, no. When Tim Spector, I met him.
Yeah.
And that's the real thing. People go, I saw a nutritionalist and she said, wave a dream catcher over my head. And I go, no, sweetheart, this is Tim Spector. He's a neuroscientist. And they go, I also. But then I had my aura done and you go, I give up.
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is difficult because these things are so new. I mean, I was looking back at books that I was writing like 20 years ago and there weren't words like microbiome. Nobody was talking about gut health.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be growing a SCOBY in your airing cupboard to make kombucha, but you didn't really know why.
Yeah.
And now I think we are drilling down. Aren't
we are
into the
microbiome.
Science.
And there's that was there before we were invented and it'll be there after. And it's what connects everything.
Yeah.
You know, and we should learn from nature.
Yeah. What do you see green shoot wise in the sphere of food? Did you look at any kind of food companies that are doing things well, or there were these weird little pods. Is it seaweed pods of water?
Oh, I mentioned all that.
Extraordinary.
But I didn't really go for companies. Yes, I did. Is it Rude Health?
Oh, yeah, Rude Health.
I met him.
Yeah.
And he's the real deal. I'm just trying to find the real deal.
The real deal.
But I do Where You've Been Conned. Okay. I do the list of self-help.
That's good.
Because that's great comedy. Yeah. So I do the, you know, the of business, starting how people, you know, use money, and then education, the history of that. That's hilarious. Of 30 Wax, you know, not my name, Wax, you know, how they, at a certain point, they didn't treat kids like kids. They treated them like miniature adults. So they abused them and had them working in the factory.
How old is your daughter now?
One's 30 and one's 26.
Okay, so they have lived through an awful lot of change with you then, presumably.
I think they understood that I had mental illness when they were teens, because my husband hid it from them. But now they can see that out of this can be something quite interesting.
Mm. And what do you pass on to them? What are you especially keen that they learn as
I hope
women?
They're as aggressive as I am, and they have that burning ambition, but they don't, because they didn't grow up with the wild heat of wanting to prove something to my parents. You know, my modus operandi has been revenge, and they don't have that. But it means they're happier, and they'll have a nicer life.
You did say that there are no happy people, only happy pets.
I don't know if I meant that. I don't think
Or maybe your pet is happier than you are.
Oh, I said that in a thing.
Or less stressed, maybe.
Yeah.
Less stressed.
Yeah, they're in the present.
They are,
yeah,
aren't they? How do you stay in the present? What are your practices? You talk about mindfulness.
Well, I do it. I mean, it's too complicated to discuss. People go, what's your top tip? And I go, what's my top tip about tennis? You throw the ball in the air.
Yeah, and you hit it in the right
place.
There
are no top tips. That's why we're not a well society. Everything you learn is by rote. What's your top tip about learning, you know, a language? Yeah. There is no top tip.
No.
You have to repeat. So mindfulness is an exercise that buffs up your brain. Okay, that's what it does. You can see it in a scanner. If you don't do it, okay, you won't be able to control your attention as much. You won't be able to get down the cortisol. It's not 100%.
No.
But if you go to a gym and you do a sit-up, you know what's coming. You're going to get a six-pack. Well, the same with mindfulness. Yeah. There is something happening in your brain you're not doing because you had nothing else to do.
Okay.
So because I practice it, I'm just as screwed up as everybody, but I know I am.
Oh, Ruby,
And knowledge is power.
Knowledge sure is. Mm. And you're mindful every day?
No, I not at all. Not at all. I can lose my temper like I used to, but I can get it down faster, the cortisol, so that, because I used to love my anger. I mean, you know, that's
it's
what
fuel,
bad news is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But then I'm poisoned. So I still have the spike, right? But I'll get it down faster. And then I can quickly get in with, oh, I'm really sorry. Rather than bumping it up, going, and you know what he said?
Yes.
And then I did it. And then calling my husband, you want to live it again? Yeah. Well, it's wearing down your, you know, your system. It's
your immune
hitting
system
your adrenals. It's hitting your immune system. It's taking you out.
Yeah. And lastly, I'd love to know how you've survived the last few months, particularly with lockdown.
I did frazzled cafes, and I was with
and was
the human
that new
race.
To do that every day?
Were I didn't run
that,
them
or,
before.
Or did
I
you
just,
do it now? You'd really stepped up to that during lockdown.
Yeah, and I'm not stepping down.
Okay.
It's my baby now because it's the only thing out there that creates community. And if we don't create that, I said this before, either through education, through business, through community, through, I mean community, because I went to a lot of intentional communities where they do have zero emissions. The houses are beautiful. People who are there are not, you know, hippies anymore. They're professors and startups, but they just choose to live where they walk the talk intentionally.
Yeah.
Their houses are great. There's a whole new system of how they live, and it's community-based, and they help each other. But they have a choice. They can have privacy, or they can have those once-a-week dinners together.
Nice.
And there's old, and there's young, and there's...
Yeah,
and
that's intergenerational, isn't it? So important.
You don't want to be left alone.
Yeah.
And on Frazzled, there's old and there's young. and different races, and they don't treat each other differently. Like they
just
lose
humanity.
It's humanity. Mm-hmm. A kid will say, "Oh yeah, I get it," and they're listening just as intently to somebody who isn't like them.
So how do we join? I mean, is it
oh, you just go on frazzlecafe.org and you're on. It's
really?
Free.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
and we get you every night.
You can get me every night.
Well, that's a pull.
I think we're yeah. You can get me every night, and I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Oh, Ruby, it's such a joy to have you here. I wish you huge luck with
oh,
the book.
Oh, mention the book again.
I will. Don't worry, I will in the outro. I'm going to give it a massive plug.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's it for today's episode. Such a good one. But as always, you will find all the links and the resources that we talked about on today's show over on LizEarlWellbeing.com, including Bat Frazzled. There you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter packed with wellbeing wisdom and even more tips for aging joyously. Huge thanks to all of you who leave such lovely reviews. We love reading them, and it really does help others to find the show. So until the next time, go well. Bye-bye. The Liz Earle Wellbeing Show is presented by me, Liz Earle, with production by Amaryllis Earle and Harry Trevithick at Heart Dialogue, with thanks to my producer, Ellie Smith, and guest booker, Millie de la Morinière.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.